theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Namaste, everybody.
Namaste.
Welcome back to your favorite podcast starring Jonathan Button and Quinn.
We are in part 4
yes,
of our mini-series on the story of our adventures in India.
Yes.
In 2016.
The federal grant, and it was an amazing opportunity. Very grateful that we did it. I've also kind of been a little bit inspired by our last few stories where we had a little bit of Indian curry last night.
We did. It was so delicious.
Every time I think, Indian food. Every time we talk about these stories, I just get hungry for curry.
I know.
It's kind of crazy.
I understand why. I don't think I've ever seen you eat so much curry in your whole life as what you did when you were there.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I was the winner. Yes.
So we left you guys off the last time we were in Udaipur. Yes. And so we are basically at the tail end of our adventure in Udaipur, which was amazing.
Amazing, beautiful, beautiful town, city.
Really.
Really gorgeous. The palace was amazing. The food was amazing. They let us drink there, which was cool too.
Yeah.
And amazing businesses that were going on there.
For sure. Yeah. And our tour guide was super fun too. I mean, he would like be like, yeah, let's go get a beer for the road. And we're like, okay, sure. And we had a lot of fun there, but we were making our way back to Ahmedabad, which we were going to spend the last like few days there of our tour, of our trip. So we had, you know, gone all over. We split up, we came back, and now we're going back to Ahmedabad. But on our way back to Ahmedabad, we had the opportunity to actually stop off and tour some really local and amazing hand weaving areas.
Yes.
Co-ops kind of.
Yeah.
More or less. And one in particular that I was, we couldn't take pictures here because it was so nondescript. It really looked like it was just like a little factory out of a garage, essentially.
Yeah.
But you walk in, and it was actually a part of someone's house, but you walk in and it is actually like a relatively bigger garage with these huge, huge looms.
Yes.
And so much amazing fabric. When we walked in there, I mean, we had seen a lot of different types of fabric and textiles being woven and created throughout all the other different, you know, tours that we had had, which were amazing. But this was something different and special altogether.
Right. This was so different. It was first off all handicraft items. Nothing was like manufactured in massive bulk. And a few of the other places that we went to, they did a little bit of both.
Right.
This was fully dedicated to the art in which is a part of Indian culture, which is weaving, essentially.
Yeah.
And the length of these pieces that they were making were at least 20, 30 feet long.
They were huge.
They were like beautiful, I don't know, what do you call them? They're shawls?
Yeah, what they were doing is they were making the fabric to what would then eventually become a wedding dress.
Yeah.
And this fabric, I mean, you had like, you saw silk in there. There were so many different strands.
The strands were so tiny.
So tiny.
But when they were closer together, you can kind of see what the pattern was going to be.
Right.
Like a blurry TV a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when it came together, it was perfect pattern. So amazing that they designed those different colors on each strand and then aligned it perfectly. I mean, we're talking like thousands of strands in one direction, and it goes on for honestly 40 feet sometimes.
Yeah, so long. And so this is like really high end, really, really high end. And the reason why we weren't able to take pictures is because this is such a high end factory, and you wouldn't even believe it going inside of it.
Yeah.
It literally does feel like it's just like the cement garage area.
Right.
And you're looking around at these unbelievable patterns, these fabrics. Yeah. And they said, basically we focus and we specialize in really high-end, all completely handmade, hand-woven.
One of a kind.
The silk is hand-done. Like the dyeing, everything from beginning to end is hand-done. And it is for wedding dresses for the absolute elite in India. And so, I mean, they were telling us some of their clients, you know, it was definitely including some of the royalty in India.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even royalty over in different countries as well.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, Bollywood celebrities and whatnot. I mean, it was like, this is not a mass manufacturing facility. This is very much for like one of one pieces. And right. because every single piece is completely done by hand, it yeah. is one of one.
They make different patterns just for that specific event.
Yeah. And they work with the individual too, mm-hmm. of like, what kind of colors do you want, you know, and whatnot. But in the end, what they really do is they get to really kind of express themselves in their own mm-hmm. artistic way.
Yeah.
The person kind of has to release it so that they're able to have some sort of creative control.
Yeah.
And it is what was so fascinating about it. I mean, when I was younger, I was really fascinated by like French haute couture.
Right.
This is India's couture.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful and so authentic. It was just mm-hmm. like, wow, these people, I mean, it was just a few individuals who worked there and yeah. it was, that's what they did. They were super passionate and really proud of what they are able to do. And yeah. you just like, honestly, driving through this little town that we just stopped off on the side of the road. I mean, you couldn't even believe that this is where these couture dresses were. And it was such an amazing experience that I don't think we could have ever had unless we were with.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I don't know how you get an invite to that.
I don't either.
And these pieces cost so much money.
So much money.
Like, even in the United States, it's a crazy amount of money. Like $50,000 was some of them. Some of them cost a little bit less. Some of them go, up almost around $100,000. And the reason being the amount of time that it's required, the amount of man hours required to complete each piece is thousands and thousands of hours.
Yeah.
Because they are so long. They're so detailed. They're doing it from very, very, very beginning point all the way to completion. And when it's complete, it's like, whoa, that is a piece of treasure.
Yeah, you know, it really is.
It's a one-of-a-kind customized piece just for you. Present it, and then it's, you know, it's the wedding. And, you know, weddings in India are massive.
Huge, yeah.
So this is the top-tier level. It was fascinating.
It was
really,
really
appreciated
cool.
seeing it.
Me too. I think that what was really fun to see, and we definitely felt it because we did have the opportunity to go and visit so many different artisans who were mm-hmm. making different things, not just textiles. But we really began to understand and appreciate how much India really does value their own artisans, you know, their own like individual artisans, and the handcraft world mm-hmm. is really valued by even, you know, the wealthiest people in India as well. So very cool. So we kept on going anyways. That was really, really fun and interesting. And then we kept making our way back to Ahmedabad.
Got back to my favorite hotel.
Crown Plaza, yes. Where John is treated like the king that he is.
I got a lot of great curry there. And when we got there, I believe it was our friend Joe Foot, the other male that came on our tour. It was his birthday.
It was.
And so we said, let's celebrate your birthday. But as we've mentioned, the state of Gujarat does not allow alcohol. It's a dry state. And that, we wanted a little bit more to drink for his birthday.
Yeah.
So we got to do the process of fully legally purchasing booze in the state of Gujarat.
Yeah. So the law is really more for like discouraging locals from drinking.
If you're a resident, no way.
Yeah. And they really don't want you to do it.
And there's a black market for it.
Of course.
We didn't have to do that.
No, they actually, what they do is they allow foreigners to actually apply to be able to go in and actually purchase alcohol in specific areas.
And with a certain amount of limitations.
Right.
They want to ensure that you're not buying it to distribute it into the locals. So
it's very well regulated.
It was very interesting, surprising, and a great experience. So we said, honey, let's go do this. Ask the front desk. They treat us so right. They point us right in the direction. It was only maybe like 3 or 4 blocks from where we were.
Yeah, it was in the Radisson Hotel.
Yeah, and it was it was like floor -2.
Yeah.
It was, you enter the elevator and you go down.
Down.
It was where typically a lot of parking lots would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a liquor store and it was weird. We go over, have to bring your passport. You show that you're from, or we showed we're from America, and they let us in, and it was a pretty typical liquor store for the most part. They had your standard beers and wines and all that. And Quinn and I are always about what's the local beverage. So we got us some Kingfisher beers and we got some kind of, I believe it was an Indian whiskey or something like that.
Yeah, it was like an itty. I think it was definitely Indian. It was either from the UK or from India.
Right.
But it was definitely a more local whiskey that we had never seen before in the United States.
And so we grab our items and we get to what It's kind of like a checkout area, but it's also a register yourself area.
Yeah.
And we hand them our passports, and they have this book that, no joke, is the size of a desk. Yeah. It is thousands of pages, and he's somewhere in the middle of it, and he writes on one single line that goes all the way across the whole book, your name, your address, where you're staying at, how long you're here for, your visa number, like your passport number, every single thing about you. Exactly what you purchased, when you purchased it, how much the price of all those, so much information. Then it gives you some kind of like liquor license.
Yeah, it was like a license.
I was very proud to have that.
Yeah, once I think we still have it.
Yeah, I like kept it in my passport. I was like, this is pretty special. I want to hold on to my liquor license. I earned this one. And then we were able to purchase the items. And I was happy the prices were not obscene, because I did think maybe they're going to upcharge us a lot because it's not legal here. How badly do you want the liquor? No, it was actually very similar to what we saw in Udaipur.
Yeah.
And we got our liquor license, got our little celebration, and we went back and we had a few drinks, and it was nice. But you can't drink it in public. You have to actually do it in, I don't want to say in secret, but it's meant for you to do it, you know, away from everyone
else. Yeah, in privacy. I mean, there's no like open carry law, you know, like you just don't walk around with it. And I think,
Who would do that?
Yeah, there are certain things that people don't pick up on, you know, until like maybe they start feeling it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that we already knew going into it that the liquor wasn't a thing, or even beer. I mean, it was like all alcohol. So we knew that if that was the case instantly, obviously we don't want to like be parading it around like, hey, we're drunk, or hey, we're drinking a beer on the street. So, you know, just trying to adapt ourselves, obviously, to the
local. So we all had to go into like one of our bedrooms.
So yeah, we just enjoyed a few drinks. Yeah, yeah. For Joe celebrating his birthday in our hotel room. And that was really fun.
Yeah. So if you have to go get liquor in the state of Gujarat, go get your liquor license.
Now you know.
It's something to be proud of.
Yeah, if you're in Ahmedabad, hit up the Radisson Hotel.
Yes. We had, this was the day that we were probably both most excited for based on the schedule of things.
Yes. Ahmedabad is known for hosting the world's largest international kite festival.
Yes.
Which was super exciting. And as we were coming back towards Ahmedabad, we could start seeing that we were in the city, and all of a sudden you saw like all of these kites everywhere. You saw these, you know, bright pink strings that kind of felt like they had like, they were weird. They basically had like little shards of glass in the, in the strings, so that, because the whole game with a lot of the, including in the kite festival, obviously you have these huge, amazing kites, but you also have individuals with little kites, and the game with the kites is that you want to try to cut your opponent's string off.
Yeah.
And so that's why the string is actually,
everyone has a kite wherever, all around the whole entire city. So many of these kites everywhere. And it's actually kind of dangerous.
I mean,
this is similar to the book, The Kite Runner. Mm-hmm. They do it in different parts over there. And they, you know, these strings have this glass on it, and it's been found that that actually leads to a lot of deaths, because if the string comes down and someone's, whether they're walking by or on a moped and they're going by, it actually can, it killed a few people because it gets them in the neck.
Yeah.
And we were really, really confused with what was going on, because we were driving around and we were seeing all of these different scooters with what looked like a visor going right over the handlebars, but there was no glass.
Yeah.
It was just a frame for a visor, and it was very weak material. It was more similar to like,
it was like a hanger.
Closet hanger.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were like, what is the point of having that? It's not protecting you from any wind.
Yeah.
It looks like a nuisance. It's not going to help you when like the bike falls or anything like that. What's the purpose? And we later found out that's to prevent those strings from cutting your neck if you're riding your scooter around and one of those kites happens to get low to the ground near a street. Super fascinating.
Mind blowing. Yeah. We were just driving around and we saw all this. We're like, what is going on?
Kites everywhere.
So that they don't get beheaded. And we're like, oh my God, that's so wild. But it's only during this time where it's like this kite festival season, you know? And so anyways, we were both so excited to go and participate in it.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to expect. We knew that it was going to be a kind of a big deal. We knew that it was, like, they had like live music and events like for weeks and stuff like that. And
all over the city. But there was one main place that the world gathering of the kite festival was going down in.
Yeah.
And we were pretty excited to get over there.
Yeah. So we woke up in the morning and we drove over there. We got parked and everything. We walked over and it was just like, I mean, you had, it was really actually very impressive. There was like a little, like amusement park ride area.
It was
like
a fairground.
It was kind of like a fairground. Yeah. And then there was like a concert stage area where I'm sure that they had, you know,
different music,
different musicians, tons of different
Food vendors.
Yes.
And I believe this was an actual holiday. So there were kids everywhere.
Yeah.
So many kids. And we actually got a chance to ride a few little rides.
We did. We did a bunch of them. They were really fun, actually.
We did the spinny one.
The
Scrambler, I think is what it's called.
It was pretty, you know, like the ride was a little bit bumpy and shaky. But, you know, nothing like, you know, something that
we
you
didn't
would
think
find
we were
going to
fly off.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, it was safe. But so then we started walking over towards like the competition area, which is like this huge fenced off area. Yeah.
About the size of two football fields,
exactly.
I'd say.
Yeah, two football fields. That's good. And you just see these huge, like the biggest kites I've ever seen, the most amazing, creative, different types of kites I've ever seen. And they were
some of them look like a parachute.
Yeah,
the size of a full-on parachute. Some of them were parachutes that were shaped like a squid.
Yeah.
Or an octopus.
Yeah.
Others were, I don't even know how they made them, but they were like puppets. Like huge Pinocchio size or Pinocchio style looking puppets that were floating in the sky.
It was amazing.
So beautiful.
It was really cool. So we started walking over towards that area, and once we start going closer to the fence where people are starting to put up their kites, we start noticing you know, just all the way towards the back, there were different country names in the different booths. So we were like, oh, wait, you think USA is here?
There were so many countries. It was so many. It was over 100 different countries were represented there.
Which was so cool. Like a kite festival, you know?
Yeah, so the real competition. Not a battle with the strings and the glass, but more of what's your best kites that represent your country?
Yeah.
And how do you perform when you're flying it?
Yeah, how long can you keep them up in the air for, and how well can you control them?
They have a judging process, which was kind of cool too. And we were like, whoa, this is amazing. This is international.
It was. And so we started walking over to get closer to be able to see the kites more in the different countries. And as we do, we start kind of getting like a little bit mobbed. We start getting surrounded by people asking if they could take pictures with us girls,
it's
basically.
It's so funny. So in all honesty, the girls were getting, there's so many, I don't want to say like young individuals, but there was a lot of like people who were there with their cameras ready to take pictures
of
the kites.
They were young, yeah.
And it was consistent that these three ladies that me and Joe were with, were Quinn included, were getting asked every second, can we take a selfie with you? Can we just take a picture of you? Can we take a picture with all of you? And you were very nice, honey. You all were very nice, and a lot of the time you would do it. But then it kind of got to, this is too much. Like, why am I doing this? This is like way too much.
Well, it got to a point where it was like definitely starting to like cause a ruckus a little bit.
It was
crazy. I was like, okay, maybe we should just go. I don't know what to do. Like
the
we
three
should
of
just
them
keep
would stand in one place and take a picture with like one or two people, and then all of a sudden there's a line forming to go and take a picture with the white girls.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Button here, tan man, he's being asked to take the photo of these nice gentlemen with my, you know, my girlfriend at the time. And I'm like, okay, next camera, next. And I'm grateful that you guys were like, okay, I think we're done, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And they still wanted to take more, but it kind of made a little bit of a scene where I think we got the eye of those inside the arena area to like kind of look our way a bit.
Yeah, and so some of the event coordinators inside the VIP kite area ended up coming over to us and saying, hey, where are you guys from? And we were like, oh, we're from the U.S. We're on a federal grant. You know, we're here just to, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
And they were like, do you want to come in? Do you want to come inside here? And you can, you know, check out and meet the, you know, people who are from the USA, and you just enjoy, and we'd just love to have you come in here.
Yeah.
We're like, yes, absolutely. So we bolted over to
Well, it was really funny.
Area.
I was like, can I come too? Because I don't look like I was like part of the group. And, oh, yeah, you can bring your driver or whatever.
Yeah. And we so all got to go in. Like Joe, the driver, everyone. Yeah, it was super fun.
So we got to go in, and that was such a stress reliever. I mean, it was so crowded and getting packed, and it was actually getting a bit annoying on the outside. When we got in, it was like breathing room.
Yeah.
Finally.
And they just started like playing like really great music too. Yeah. And we ended up
we had to do a bunch of like TV interviews. Remember that?
Yeah, that was so funny. I mean, we ended up meeting the guy who was representing the USA. He was so nice.
He was super nice. But he gave us insight as to how they put this whole thing together. And they flew him out, all expenses paid and everything, to represent the United States of America. He owns a bunch of kite shops, like the best in the United States. Yeah. And that's his thing. That's his passion. And he was so nice. He allowed us to try him out, you know, try to fly a 20-foot kite.
Yeah, it was really cool. But I'm going to just give the context now. We're going to shift a little bit because now we're in the scene.
Yes.
Where the love of my life, my husband, proposes to me. And we're going to lead up to that. But I just want to like shout you out with like all the craziness, all of the stuff that was going on. Right. You had that ring in your pocket and you just didn't know when you were going to do it. So I can only imagine how nervous you really were.
Well, I knew that if I was going to propose to you, I wanted to do it in a very special place. And when we found out that we were going to India, I was like, that's pretty legit. That's very us, you know. And so
very much.
I was planning it out, and it did take a lot of planning. So I got the ring in Stillwater. That's a weird process in itself. For any of you who haven't done it yet, get excited going into a jewelry store and picking that out. Did that, got the whole thing, you know, set up, and I saw on the schedule we were planning to go to International Kite Festival. I was like, that's where it's going down for sure. We ended up going from Oklahoma to Mexico, and I'm like hiding this ring, petrified that I'm going to lose it before I even get a chance to give it to you. Then we go from there to India, and I'm traveling all over the place with this ring in my pocket in full fear of losing it and in full fear of you finding it. And we find it. I think I hid it in my socks, wrapped in my underwear like 5 times, the dirtiest underwear I could find, just to know that you would never look in there. We finally get to the kite festival, and as you're getting mobbed, and I'm taking pictures of who I'm about to propose to with all these other gentlemen, I'm thinking, this isn't going to happen. It can't happen here. Like, if I did this, we'd get crazy mobbed. We're already here with like 30 people around us. Yeah. Imagine when that happens. So I was like, I don't know. We're probably going to have to just wait. And I'm like thinking, I'm actually kind of getting a little bummed. Like, I was like, okay, maybe there's a cool place in the airport I can do it on, because we're coming to the end of our whole trip. And then we get the opportunity to go inside. And when we got that space and the music was right and like the kites were all around us, I was like, yes, this is going down. I knew it was going down. I was super scared.
No one knew.
I didn't tell a single soul. I was too scared that someone would tell someone.
Yeah.
So I go in there and I'm like, babe, this would be a great place for us to do a life out of the box video update. Let's talk about, you know, our journey here and what we're doing and why we're here. And so we hand our phones to the other two ladies who came with us on the trip. And I explicitly state to them, you're going to record this, but there's a button when you're recording that you can push to take pictures while you're recording. I was like, and she was like, okay, well, am I going to take pictures of you guys doing an interview? I was like, you'll see. I didn't say that, but I knew that it would make sense later. We start doing the video. Quinn was super cute. She's like, hey guys, we're here, Life Out of Box, here in India. We're at the International Kite Festival. Very grateful to be here. And then it goes to me, and I'm like, yes, I'm so grateful to be able to travel around the world with you, hand in hand. And I just want to ask you if you'll continue to take my hand as we continue on our journeys around the world. And at that point, I'm like, I'm so scared. I sound pretty cool right now. Like, oh man, what a smooth guy. No, I was petrified. I don't know why I was petrified. I knew you were going to say yes, but at the same time, you want to make this moment right. You only get one chance of your life, ideally, right?
You're so sweet.
So I get down on my knee, and all of a sudden, you know, there's still crowds of people. We're in the center of the arena, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I'm like, so will you please take my hand forever? And like Quinn's, like her face just becomes all like wet. Like just so many tears are going on.
Oh my God.
I'm looking at the ladies who are filming it and their mouths are just as open as they could be. They're just like, I can't believe it. And I'm seeing their thumb pushing it at rapid speed. They're taking so many pictures.
They did so good. We love you girls. Thank you so much for capturing the moment.
And so I'm on my knee and I'm like, please, will you marry me? And you said, yes, of course. And then you like jumped on me and And the whole like outside of the arena just was like, yeah, congratulations. Everyone's like, so oh my cool. gosh. And I was so nervous. I don't know why. I don't know. There's a lot of people. And I just wanted it to be perfect. And
it was.
I just gave you a big hug and everything felt so much better.
It
at
was.
That point.
It was so perfect. It was like, it was so us. We were doing, he was tricking me by saying, let's do a life out of the box video. I was like, oh, that's a great idea. Absolutely. Thanks. Let's do that. And just started off. And he just, I remember when he was like, oh, just wanted to say thank you for, you know, like taking my hand the whole way through.
Yeah.
And I hope you keep on. And I was like, yeah, you're getting really deep right now, hon.
And so deep.
You're getting really deep and so beautiful. And then he gets down on his knees and I was just like, what the heck? I had no idea. No one had any idea. And I really liked it because we were in that VIP area, there was so much space. It did feel like we had our private moment. Like I completely forgot about everything else. And it was just our private moment. But then afterwards, I was like, I was just jumping on you, basically, like tackling you, saying, thank you. I love you so much. I'm so excited.
Right.
And then, you hear this like, yeah, oh my God. And like, you know, everyone was so nice. I mean, Joe and the girls and even the guy who was representing the USA in the kite festival.
And all the guys that I took pictures of you with.
They all were just like, wow, that's amazing. It was like the whole moment was just. It was beautiful. And so, yeah,
It was a huge relief to give you the ring, too. I was like, oh, good. Now I don't have to worry about that thing.
Oh, my God. We got engaged.
It was so scary. I was so scared.
We got engaged. I was so happy and excited and just, I was blown away. So, yeah, that for me, that is probably one of the number one reasons why we will always hold India very dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
Where we got engaged, but we cannot wait to go back. And I loved everything about our whole time there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it was really just like the perfect way to conclude of us getting engaged.
Yeah, we even went back to my favorite hotel, Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
And they were so nice. We told them, because at this point I've been like staying there for
like
18 days or something like that. And they were so kind. They said congratulations. They made me a custom curry. And they brought out a special cake and
they
said
congratulations.
And we're excited for your love. Like, it was
so
nice.
Sweet.
It was like a little romantic, like, ending of the journey. It was really a great conclusion.
It was so nice, too, because everyone, once they found out that we got engaged, like, we ended up going and visiting the EDI afterwards and a couple of other places just to, you know, like, say bye and whatnot. And they were like, you guys should come back to have your wedding here. You should have your wedding here.
Right,
I was
right.
like, you know what? I'm tempted. After seeing those wedding dresses and everything,
that's funny.
I'm like, you know what? India knows how to do weddings right. That's
they do.
True.
They
you
do
know?
It big. There's no question about that.
But, you know, how we ended up actually getting married is another story. And
another life out of the box
episode.
Style. Yeah.
But you know, the way that we got engaged, just I want to say thank you because it was so special. Oh. And I love you. I love the country of India. I love the people.
Yeah,
I really, you know, this trip was a game changer for both of us. I mean, we had done international business, you know, just from like the ground up. Like we just went there and tried to put, you know, like basically start something together.
Right.
And this trip allowed us to see international business from various different perspectives and how that can actually really function and work to really, you know, accelerate entrepreneurial activity and
in a city,
uplift,
a state.
Yeah. Uplift
at a university.
The economy. Yeah. It's amazing.
By seeing all levels from like the lowest, you know, single individual entrepreneurs all the way to the government officials.
Yeah.
That was amazing to see how it all worked. And I think it's an amazing federal grant that I fully support. Our tax money going to help globalization and represent United States abroad and bringing entrepreneurial connections together. I mean, we're all on the same team. We're all on the human team.
We're all
and
on team
we
human.
We want innovation. We want progress. And the best way to make that happen is for everyone to come together.
To connect. And to be honest, I think that I don't know if I could say we got more, but we got more, if not just as much, out of the trip going to India as I hope that Piyush got when he was here.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really the reciprocal win and what you can learn from each other, I think, is just so incredibly powerful and grateful for these grants to have existed.
Yep.
And
thank
I
you.
Hope, you know, they continue on into the future when we're all ready and able to travel again.
Right. So when you can, get out there, travel. It's going to help you. It's going to help us.
Aww.
It's a better world. Yes. Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed the journey of us in India and our time. And I think it ended on a beautiful note.
Beautiful note.
Love you, hun.
Love you, too.
Talk to you all later.
Bye. Bye.
You've enjoyed this journey through sound.